Hello, and welcome to Focus and Fury, episode 109. And holy crap, the whole building's taking a huge fart. We are an explicit and opinionated podcast. I'm Nigel, and I play Kador and World of Tanks.
I'm Ryan, and I can't breathe anymore, and I play Kador, World of Tanks, COC, Mercenaries. That's enough for today.
This is Jamie, and I play Krix, and I dabble in everything else, and I play World of Tanks.
Mm-hmm. This is Casey. I play Scorn, and fuck World of Tanks. Yeah!
Casey, when are you going to get with the goddamn program?
Never.
Why do we even have you on?
I don't know. Yeah.
This is a World of Tanks podcast. Now. Shit. I don't know if you... Yeah, you're going to need to contribute here.
Well, Marvel I can Lions give you podcast. All the fucking finger.
What do you think of the KV-1? It's a pretty sweet tank.
Yeah. It was.
You really got to get into that bitch.
No.
See, you know about the tanks. You're totally in.
Yeah, we could turn this into a Flames of War podcast, too.
Yeah. It's basically Flames of War, but we're like living the dream. We're not like, we're not playing 40K
it's
with
like,
tanks. We're
it's
playing...
like Flames of War. It was fun.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, Flames of War is way better than 40K.
Wow. And go.
Yeah,
let's start all the hate.
Well, speaking of reasons that War Machine's better than 40K, they just released, they're putting out Plastic Baden Thralls.
Yeah.
Right? And so the whole kit of five guys is going to be $50 for all the plastics.
Yeah, which that's is pretty really sweet. Disappointing as a GameStar owner. Like, thanks, Margin.
Because the old ones are 80.
Yeah.
So they dropped $30.
To be fair, though, your MSRP...
The margin's the same.
Yeah, it's going to drop.
But they're buying... It's less for the same thing.
Yeah, but what if a person would now buy $50 worth of thralls where they wouldn't...
They don't exist. Anybody,
you know what you're getting into when you start up War Machine.
Anybody who's excited about saving $30 that made the difference between them getting it already saved it, getting it online.
Yeah.
Or just didn't play War Machine.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. I think it's great. It's actually just great for the game because then it causes tier lists to be accessible and things like that. So all these units that kind of get repackaged this way. It's just
I'm
great.
Super excited.
Yeah. I want to see them. Mm-hmm. The plastics have been a little hit or miss, so I'm kind of curious as to how they're going to turn out.
I will probably buy it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be like your third unit then?
No, I have two. I only have knights and thralls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He needs some to bring back with tartar sauce.
Yeah, and epic horseshit.
All right, so things we're going to talk about today, a little touch on WTC, some stuff that's kept, well, the plastics that come out.
Yeah.
We're going to touch on that. Tournament season is full effect, so we got a huge schedule coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shit's getting real.
Yeah, we actually don't get a weekend off almost till War Machine weekend.
Let's do that now. So next Saturday, we're running a 50-point.
50 pointer here. At SR 2013.
Death clock.
For death real clock. Death clock.
For real death
for real
clock.
Death clock. 16 players, tentatively capped, but we can maybe expand it if it gets
crazy. We can accommodate. I'll be running this one.
Yeah, we have enough death clocks to do a 22 player. So that's probably our hard cap.
For now.
Yeah. Otherwise you gotta use your phone.
Yep.
Yeah, man, it's sketch.
That's our tournament. And then, Divine Conquer, we already said that, right?
Yep.
Divine Conquer 1.
Yes, just once.
And are we going to have Specialists?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay, so Specialists will be being used this weekend. So if anybody's coming down?
They will be available.
That weekend. Not this
weekend. Next weekend.
Are we doing the character restriction we usually do, or are we going to match War Machine weekend?
In terms of the Specialists?
E&P for character restriction. War Machine weekend, you can't bring E&P.
No, you can bring E&P. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not
late. Not that anyone really does that.
All right, so then that's the 16th, 19th, the 19th, the 26th. Collins running a tournament in Iowa.
Yep,
that's going to be the massive tournament, that's going to be the Iowa tournament, whatever. Des Moines or is it Ames?
Ames, I think.
Okay,
he usually that one's Des Moines. That one's Des Moines.
Des Moines, because Crump is Ames, Collins Des Moines. Okay,
right. Okay.
So it'll be Des Moines, and then that Sunday the 27th in Mankato. There's another. Is it 20? Is it 50 points? So it's another 50-point SR. So if you basically want to simulate a War Machine weekend, you can go to the Iowa tournament and then come up to Mankato. They're two and a half hours apart?
Yeah.
Something like that. Can't be much more than that.
No, so it's an hour and a half from here.
It's a little bit of it's a meat grinder. So if you're coming from Kansas City or something, it might not work. But
if you're in Madison or Iowa.
Yep. And Tower Games is sort of de facto promoting both or sponsoring both. So if you can bring proof to Tower Games that you, attended both. So if you have your army sheets that are signed by, Colin.
But you don't get your army sheets back at tournaments.
You probably could. It's not like they need to keep them for anything.
Technically, they kind of do for PG.
Well, then just have your, have them sign your cleavage and then bring that in.
Hot.
Yeah.
If you do that, we'll give you an extra point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was going to give... But bring some sort of proof that you attended both tournaments, and I will give you 30% off either a Battle Engine or a Battlephone bag or something, whatever. Oh, we'll figure something out. Yeah.
That's legit.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's like super legit. That's cheaper than online stuff.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, granted, the only people that run the risk of really doing achieving this challenger in this room right now, probably. But it's interesting. So if we get a lot of people doing it, it could be really fun. So
you hear that, Rochester?
Yeah, Rochester, Mankato, and anybody from Iowa. It'd actually be really easy for Iowans because they can just drive up on Sunday. Yeah,
yeah, and if you can get John or Keith to sign yours while you're down there,
yeah,
you can get like 31% off probably.
John has to sign 28% off.
John has to sign your boobs though.
Yeah, what's that?
John has to sign their boobs
or their butt
or their butt. Ooh.
Yeah,
what?
If you can get John to sign it, you can then come to Tower and pay me $15 so that that's what
so we have to look at.
That's well, no, that's his signature fee. So, and I will see to it that he gets his money.
We are now promoting John Damaris.
Yeah, he's essentially like O.J. Simpson. He just can go to conventions and sign his name.
He needed an agent. He didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Nigel's just stepping up.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you, Nigel.
Mm-hmm. It was just a kind of fun thing. It's like, wow, it's kind of neat. It's like a weird weekend meat grinder. Let's sort of make something interesting.
So and at least two of us applying and doing this.
Yeah.
And then after that, after this whole thing.
Yeah, holy crap. After that.
So we get a week off.
Yep.
We 1 week off, and then on the...
Colin has told me the 9th there will be a tournament that we can go to in Iowa.
It's either the 9th or the 8th.
And everyone's favorite Australian Chunky should be down there with us.
Chunky.
Yep.
Playing. And that's going to be legit.
That tournament will be called the Beat the Chunky Challenge. And so basically, if you can get him with a drop bear or beat his list.
Either one wins.
A drop bear
is your prize.
Yeah, koala bear. Yeah. Koala bears get really drunk and angry, and then they sit and they drop down on you.
Yeah, when eucalyptus leaves start to ferment.
Yeah, so they sit in trees, and eventually, once in a while, they'll like drop on people and maul their faces.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's where the whole drop bear comes from.
Mean as shit.
Okay, I never even heard of them.
No. Yeah. Yeah. There's shirts and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you gotta go get shots because herpes is like endemic.
Yeah, they all have herpes.
Fucking koalas.
Well,
that one might not be true.
Yeah. No. Australians are tagging them left and right.
Wow.
They got nothing better to do. They don't have sheep out there. So,
wait, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Damn it. Actually, they have lots of sheep. Yeah. They're like Irishmen.
What?
Scotsman joke.
We don't do that.
All of them.
Racist.
Damn Celts.
Does that count?
Yeah, sheep put too much fight for Irishmen.
You'd be able to stumble into it.
A bottle of whiskey, and it is exactly.
Just because the Irish team showed up. To the event.
They didn't show up to that event, apparently.
No.
Oh. That's rough.
Neither did you.
Hey, I don't have to. America did.
America weren't signed up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not taking to task every single Irishman that didn't show up. Just the ones that did.
Just the ones that were supposed to show up.
Yeah.
These things happen, though.
That's okay. Better luck next decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 10 years, they'll have a meta that's not completely alcoholic. What? All right. It's mostly just catching Casey and the splash damage. We actually are ambivalent towards the Irish people. I'm sure they're fine.
Actually, like,
but that we can rip on Casey while also doing this is amazing.
3/4 of the podcast is probably Irish too. So
3/4 of the podcast, really?
Are you Irish?
Casey's not even three. What?
No. Ryan, are you Irish at all?
There's some Irish there.
Yeah. I mean, all three of us have Irish background.
Yeah, like, it's a table of European mutts. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could be Irish, Nigel.
We'll let you.
Never. Not even if there's a fire.
Nigel's too busy being British and a cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They do say cunt a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is that law again where you can basically house the guy's wife on their wedding night?
That was in Braveheart.
Bonerfest Destiny or whatever. something like that. Yeah. I'm just saying, if Casey ever gets married, I'm going to declare my Bonerfest Destiny right.
Yeah, but they don't start bombing your car.
What?
They don't start bombing your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be bad.
I couldn't bomb his car. His car's already been bombed. Have you seen his car?
That's true.
Not recently.
No. Wait till he gets the new tires, at least.
It's Ireland proof.
It's drive proof.
Just a burnout husk.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're making fun of white people.
So, real quick on the WTC, that's passed and gone. We did a little touch on it last weekend.
Yep.
But
if anyone can understand it.
Now that we actually know the results exactly, the worst ever. So now that we know the results, though, congrats Poland for kicking ass and taking names and
specifically our
shocking the world. Even if you listen to the WTC recap where they had the Epic Flail doing their shenanigans.
Holy shit, are those guys British, by the way?
Yep.
Like, yeah. Man, are they hard to understand sometimes.
Oh, no, no. Actually, you know what's really funny? Well, anyways, I'll get into this later, but it was kind of neat. All the people they interviewed, they're like, who's your dark horses and all this stuff? And yeah. It was always like, the Germans or the Swedes or the Finns or whatever in Poland, just or even the Slavs or whatever. Czechoslovakia, I think, got some nods. But, yeah, Poland just came in, bam.
Yeah,
here we come.
Interestingly, they won it with an 0-5 guy. The guy who played Kadar just got rimrocked basically the entire weekend. And
yeah, it turns out there was no secret to Karchev or Assault Commandos.
No. Well, he only played that list the first game and lost, and then he went with his other list the rest of the way, but still lost.
Which was apparently not Butcher 3.
Yeah, it was Butcher 2, Doom Reaver spam.
Oh, what?
And, yeah, well, it went 0-5.
Can't imagine how that would go 0-5.
And, you know, it's a super skew list, and so, you know, maybe he death clocked himself out over and over again.
Yeah, and you really have to – it's so matchup dependent, too.
But yep. That's the thing, though, in that format, you're getting – their whole point is you're trying to line up those matchups. So unless he was, like, being fed to the wolves and just sort of kept having to play against Epic Haley or something.
Oh, that could have been it. That could have just been – he was the throwaway.
Yeah, the sack lamb, and they just check him, yeah.
Have fun. There's their best.
Yeah. And then the Americans came in second and fourth. Pretty respectable showing. Team A or whatever, the Reds or whatever the fuck.
Red and blue.
Team Flanzer basically got, you know, to the finals. That's impressive. Pagani and Keith get special nods for going 5-0. So kind of putting their team on their back a little bit.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Yep. And then just, you know. Some interesting things to think about after this one was, you know, how different would it have gone if, like, Keith, if we had really, like, consolidated the power base into one super team, or next year, do you think the strategy will change?
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah.
So they'll just say, fuck it, and just bring the top five in one team, and then bring the second tier of guys. It's not really saying second tier, because actually everybody's pretty talented players.
Yeah, they all took second and fourth, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if you front-load one team and have, like, the best of the best in the first three, and the second three is the second best of the best, right? There's still a good chance that secondary team will go top 10, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're just,
But do you hedge your bets to get the gold and then maybe sixth? Or do you go for two and fourth again?
We go for gold.
Because Keith on Team A wouldn't have been a conflict with Team A. Like, there wasn't a Crix player on it. Yeah. So he could have been in there and, you know.
And, I mean, his list can pretty much take any matchup. So whatever they're going up against, if there's one they're not sure about, he can probably go down again.
Basically, Keith plays Phil.
Yep.
Yep.
So, anyways, it's kind of neat to think about that. A whole another year to wait for it to happen again, assuming it does. And then B, who also, we have a whole new year. It'll be interesting to see who puts their hat in the ring.
Yeah, there could be some new names.
Yeah. We got the first test coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Machine Weekend will,
the big test.
Every year it's kind of neat because there's always like one or two names that sort of crop up as national meta players.
Yeah. Like Prieur wasn't on the national scene.
Or Billy Robin, or, you know, there's a bunch. It's just a bunch of crop up all the time.
And then people like Beanish just kind of fade to
fade
obscurity.
Away.
He'll be there.
Weekend,
it's going to be sweet. Yep. We're going to have
he's gonna play Werewolf.
Yep.
And drink.
Board games.
He's not, board games, and he's never going to play.
He's not just
game War Machine.
Playing Werewolf this year.
He's running
he's
it.
He's running it.
He's running
he's
official
He's organizing
ones.
It. He's getting it all going there.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet, though.
Yep.
He's like the master of after-hours shenanigans or whoever, ceremonies.
Which means werewolf.
Which props to Carl. It's kind of sweet that we're starting to include this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we're bringing it all in.
There's definitely some more stuff going on. There'll be some IKRPG out there. They still haven't really
said what
given
it is.
Details on that. But, yeah. I mean, there's going to be plenty to do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm running events, and Ryan's running events.
It's going to be some fun times. And, like, everyone from the shop is going to place War Machine.
Mm-hmm. Almost sweet.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, real quick, let's go into some War Machine stuff.
Holy shit.
I know.
List transition there.
List Dojo stuff. Well, you got to change the subject before we just sort of toilet bowl. So I'm just noticing that both of you guys have been drooling over the Earthbreaker coming out.
Yeah.
Now, Jamie, you haven't even really dusted off the Mercs yet.
But, actually, to be honest, I never really bought into the Mercs.
Yep.
I've bought piecemeal in for other factions, right? Hmm. So lots of Nis Hunters and Gorman and whatnot. But I've never actually gone full force into Mercs. So I really like the Earthbreaker, and I think he's really cool looking. And his rules are pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm jumping into Dwarves, which if you ever seed me, makes sense finally, because I'm basically a giant overgrown Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. It looks neat. It's got cool rules. Although I kind of need to change out some of its parts. Like, its head looks weird. Mm-hmm. I want to get rid of its hands somehow.
Oh, I don't mind the hands or the head. Arms. Yeah. Arms are weird.
The main arm.
The big, like, the L arms?
Elbow to wrist.
Yeah, that
what's going on here? Yeah, that's... But overall, he's a sweet model.
And then, Ryan, you've kind of dialed in on a Damiano list you like.
Yeah, I've got the sweet Damiano, and I'm working on the second list.
The Durgan list, basically.
The Durgan.
Well, Durgan, Gorton, and Bart are all on the table right now.
Okay.
And it's kind of a race between them to see who I want to end up playing as my second list.
Hmm.
They've all got some sweet stuff going on, and I think Earthbreaker makes it so Gorton and Durgan are where I want them to be for what I want to do with those lists.
Yeah, hmm. I almost think that Gaston, like if Durgan just runs his Rock Ram and that's it, and then Gaston runs a Galleon, yeah. I think that's a sort of a stronger combo, but
that's
who knows?
Not available by November.
Yeah, no, it's not for War Machine Weekend, but those are ones that's like, I think that's going to be amazing.
So that brings me to a good question. So we're talking about Dojo. Ryan, what are you looking to play at War Machine Weekend? Like, are you Dojoing for a specific event?
I'm going to play in the Last Chance Qualifier.
Okay.
I'm not going to win the Last Chance Qualifier, but
hey,
I'm
you never know.
Play in the Last Chance Qualifier.
What about you? Man?
That's really the only thing I'm really angling for. Other stuff I'll just end up in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much my bit, too.
Okay.
I'm just going to play Last Chance Qualifier. There's a paint thing that we might be doing Saturday.
Yep.
But that, so now we have a room for it if we get it done.
Too early to.
Yeah, it's too early
to detail yet.
Yeah. But that might develop more. We actually, holy crap, in addition to all these stupid goddamn tournaments, we've almost wasted, we whiled away the few weekends we have left to get the paint dojo going for Caleb and Casey. Tomorrow, we better be pretty goddamn busy.
Well, so in Caleb's defense, he's kind of jumped ship and is now like all magic all the time.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of magic happening.
I think you scared him.
We also made the mistake of getting into World of Tanks.
Yeah, we also made the mistake of letting him play Keith.
Keith, stop dick punching our players.
Yeah.
Hey. I like getting dick punched personally, but whatever. Just personal fetish. Yep.
Oh man.
You gotta know where the power level's at, or else that's the watermark. You gotta get over it. That's the whole point. War Machine is like a really low bar, you know, Sylvester Stallone movie challenge for every player, you know, so you figure out what the watermark is. Keith is Ivan Drago. Would you rather play Keith at War Machine or actually fight Ivan Drago in a boxing ring? It's, you know what I'm saying? Same thing. So if you're going to have like a training montage, would you rather train up against Keith in a purple shirt or Ivan Drago, who will literally blast your face off? Yeah.
Have a better day.
Exactly.
In one of those
scenarios. Nerds have it fucking pretty easy. This is a pretty easy situation. Yeah. It's pretty sweet to just like, yeah.
I don't know. Those ego bruises, man, they take a while to heal.
No, they apparently do.
Apparently they beat you into magic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yikes.
Or it's just like ego bruise after ego bruise.
What? Yeah, magics?
Yeah. I guess you get to blame your land.
Yeah, you
all
get
the
to
time.
Blame the land. Yeah, exactly. I got mana fuck. Yeah. And then you just sort of do that.
Yeah.
You top deck instead of a bitch.
Yeah. You top deck me.
Fuck you. Have a day.
I know. I heard you say that earlier today.
It was against Wes. He's the top deck. And Wes agreed. He went, yep, that was me. Son of a bitch.
Well, that's what you expect to happen in that game.
Yeah.
It's like getting diced in War Machine. Can you really get mad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not
mean, you got diced. It happens.
Yep. So what about you, Case? Are you playing anything specific at War Machine Weekend?
Last Chance and...
Well, that's goof off time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think that's basically everybody's sort of agenda.
Yeah, I mean, and then I'll do pickup games and see what's going on with everybody.
You guys should play this Saturday, 11 a.m. Scrambles.
Who? Scrambles?
What? Scrambles. So we're doing, for those who aren't aware, War Machine Weekend, we're doing Scrambles. So like every 3 hours or whatever, we're starting an 8-man tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they alternate between 50 points and 35 points. Mm-hmm. And they're super fast, and they're 3 rounds, and they're a lot of fun.
They're a little more laid back.
They're really laid back.
I might actually goof off and do stuff like that.
Yeah, they're fun. I'm running, and you can get coins for them and stuff.
Oh, well, I'll do 35s.
Yeah, I'm running the Highlander, too, if you get bored. 25-point Highlander, 9 p.m. on Saturday.
Which actually sounds pretty sweet. Ooh. For like a laid-back one.
I actually
like
the, when I had done Gen Con, actually the events that were fun were the later... As they got on.
The fun ones?
Yeah. Yeah, late night ones were actually kind of intriguing. And you'd sit there and, like, your third game, you're like, I'm falling asleep. This turn will be interesting.
Yeah. The upside is that, like, none of the stuff at War Machine Weekend that is a tournament really goes overnight completely.
Yeah.
So then you can go play Werewolf or, like, no one will actually make it to anything at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
I know. I'm kind of excited for not having work. And I will not be in the Last Chance qualifier because I'm working it.
Well.
Yeah, I'm BG in it.
Boom.
Ha, we have
one.
A
brother's already fallen by the wayside.
Judge. I mean, Jamie. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not a judge.
Damn it.
No.
You're just the line enforcer?
Pretty much.
Get back! Get against the wall. There's no more to pull over. I can't pull over any farther.
I just watched that movie the other night too.
It's gonna be awesome. We'll All right, good times. So we've been in some tournaments and dojoing up. Any list swaps anybody's doing or new tech or
yet?
I'm trying to find a second for Crix, right? Yep. So I've been running eGaspi a lot just because people have been asking for it and whatnot. And that's the one I'm pretty comfortable with right now.
Yep.
So I'm trying to find a second for it.
Yeah, Crix is interesting. Actually, Alex is having sort of a similar problem. He runs P. Denny. And P. Denny is such a universal caster.
Yeah.
Also, War Machine Weekend, you can't go P&E. So you're just... That really? Sort of sucks. Yeah, it's really ball-bustingly dumb.
Why would I want to go P. Denny and E. Denny?
Because it's E. Denny and P. Denny.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, what other reason you need at this point?
I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Because Crix is so fucking bullshit that they don't need to worry about, like, armor skew and defense skew. Yeah, they just need to be, like, scenario versus fist-fucking their face.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I want to fist-fuck their face, I just play E. Gatsby. If I want to win on scenario and laugh at them as, you know, I don't fist-fuck their face, I'll play my E. Denny list. Correct. So,
and he's, of course, trying to polish a middle of the road turd. He doesn't want to play like Epic Gatsby or just throw down the stuff that you expect to see from your standard Crix player.
Yeah. So anyways, I bring up Alex because he's got P. Denny list. It's amazing and it'll do fine. Mm-hmm. But then the second list that pairs with it, it's sort of like,
why?
He can't go E. Denny. So he doesn't have a scenario, hard scenario caster. He could go like E. Gatsby.
That's kind of what I was looking at. E. Gatsby.
Or one of the Scars.
Mm-hmm. Or Scars.
Yeah. It's just sort of like, why do you drop one list? Which, you know.
It's basically because you have to play one other list during it. It's the only reason you're building
it. I would honestly just drop P. Denny almost every match. I can't try to think of a match that I would, like, not just drop P. Denny.
How many times do you have to use both lists?
Just once. Divide and Conquer one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
E. Gatsby solid too. Actually, I would drop E. Gatsby a lot. I'd probably drop E. Gatsby more than P. Denny, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's mostly that he doesn't want to run E. Gatsby.
Yeah,
that's where he's running into a problem.
And that's a lot of our lament at this point. Like not just me and him, but a lot of folks are saying, you know what, this being championed by so many people and everything, and everyone sees it every single time. So I don't want to play it, even if it is good. I mean, and it's not exactly the most fun list to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of, you know, you drop clouds and you sit back there and do nothing until you counterpunch.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one where you really take a lot of punches until...
Yeah, you definitely do.
Yeah, like, that's why I think the off-list should be wacky. I mean, so I was telling him the E-Scar, and then also Morten Ebers, someone to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like, they just do dynamic weird things. They have dynamic weird lists. They're definitely super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You give someone Morten Ebers and P. Denny, and they were planning their matchups for Crix, they're not going to know which of their lists to pick suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are not... One of these is a Crix list. The other one is... I don't know what's happening over there.
Yep.
So you can come in and try to rogue someone every once in a while when you have to drop that list once during your tournament.
Yep. I would not be happy to see Morten Ebers.
No, Morten Ebers. Yeah,
that was actually
awards pretty hard.
Yeah.
What about Igor Shaden and Kraken? Worth it at all?
It's interesting to think about. I actually really don't like Igor Shaden's game, especially in Death Clock. Death Clock is like less important to try to win on Dice Down. And that's really his only big bit. So. I don't know, Phantom Hunter, whatever, fucking.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
cool. Yeah.
But you could just Phantom Hunter Leviathan and be almost as good.
Alright, so keep on the lookout, more Crix bullshit.
What do you mean?
In the future, we gotta figure this out.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yep.
That's our doge.
Yep.
So what about you? Are you dogeing anything?
Well, my two big lists, I've kind of decided I'm just gonna go U Butcher and Ocean's 18, and then it's just a matter of swapping or honing in on those lists. Okay. And so, the big change in both lists is I've gotten rid of Iron Fang Pikeman from the Butcher list, and I've gotten rid of the Nis Hunters in the other list, and I've just replaced them with the Winter Guard, the Grey Lord Cavalry.
Which is sweet.
Whoa.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And then the Grey Lord Cavalry, and then, Sorsha gets the Cossack Woodsman, and Butcher picks up the Great Bears.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. What? Cossites have been really good. They're just fucking great with her.
Huh. He's also got the Grey Lord Horsey Mans.
No,
stand. Yeah. So you get, exactly. The other thing, too, is you take, I took, like, Yuri the Axe out, which I should almost get him back in, because then he sort of makes them pretty good.
Tree Walker and all that crap.
Yeah, but,
Tree Walker.
Yeah, but I get him out. Yeah, they're just stationary, you know.
If you can get...
They blow up support.
If you get stationary on support and just bring him on from the back, it's a sad day for someone. Yeah.
But the big problem is it gives me, like, a desperation. Ocean's 18's fine by itself. They give me a desperation scenario. You know, I throw 6 points at people. It's 10 whole models I have to get rid of. That's true. I can sort of delay scenario. So.
Okay. Well, and there's the whole, like, factor of, oh, shit, there's things in my backfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really, exactly. And those guys are pretty pesky because they move up, shoot, and then back up three. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And they can do that all day. And anytime you can freeze and grip whole units, you know, like, oh, there goes their whole choir.
Yeah.
And then those guys just tee off. So. Okay. They got some cool things.
When they can hit, they're actually somewhat good.
Yeah, my U-Butcher list I've really got to come together on. The other thing, too, is they're immune to being jammed because of their spell abilities where they can just spray. But what really makes them super defensive against jamming is...
I assume you switched over to talking about the Turnian cap.
Yeah, yeah, sir. Yeah.
Okay, you were talking about...
There was no clutch on that shift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, there was no clutch, yeah.
I was like, wait, what spell did the Costco have?
Fuck you, oh, yeah. How about that? Now, the Turnian cap, they make you jam-proof, and then they're jam-proof because of the sprays, but they're also jam-proof because they give that stupid make you stationary buff to themselves. So they just walk up 9, put that spell up, move 5 more inches. So they're 14 inches, they're the same, they eat up as much real estate as the Nis on turn 1, which is usually what I do is run them up. And so they're threatening the same sort of distance with their 9 and 8s, night or whatever it is.
So they can claw themselves, and they have the 2-inch stationary thing naturally, right? They just always have 2-inch stationary?
No.
They always have concealment. Oh, really? The 2-inch stationary is what they can put on each other. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Got it.
Yep. So they're amazing. Yeah, that's sort of the big list tech. I got to work on sort of my list a little bit. There's some...
Yeah, I think we need to,
minor tweaks.
Schedule a good doge day.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really got to figure out which of the 3 casters I'm going to...
Yep.
Figure out in. I mean, Gorton, I think he's got some interesting aspects. His feat just, it's, you know, do I want to kill him? Do I want a scenario? It's a little more utility than Durgan's feat, which is mostly I'm going to blow up the board this turn. And then Bart he really makes the galleon sweet. His feat sweet. That's most of the things you have to say about Bart.
but the money shots are sweet.
But you can make a pretty good list.
Wait, don't think of Damiano.
Yeah. Which I don't actually use in my Damiano list because there are 0 steelheads in that list. But I mean, I think one of those 3 casters will end up being who I bring as my other list. And it might just end up being Bart for now because I've played him and it'll take me less time to get ready than Durgan or Gorton. But Durgan, I've been playing quite a bit and I think the Earthbreaker is really going to be fun with him.
Yeah.
So I might just go with him too.
Well, a little bit of a mental exercise part of this dojo thing. Part of what sort of makes me fret about what I'm taking is your natural expectations in a tournament, like what you're going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
So, lists we have to worry about. Signar, double Stormwall, Eve Haley, right?
Yep.
Possibly just the 1 Stormwall with Thorn. Who cares? Whatever. Some variation of it. Thereof. Gunline type thing. E-Gaspy, E-Denny, Morvana, E-Morvana. You know, you still have the occasional mullet card bullets, you know, pop feet, go Raven, just random things. So it's sort of like keeping that. Do you think the WTC list, the Modlin website helps you sort of doge up some lists?
It's nice to see where the meta's at for a lot of factions, what kind of things are hitting the table.
And you know that once other players see that list will be emulated. So you're definitely going to see that. It's not just the meta's built to it, the meta is now copying those lists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be a degree of players who go out and they try to figure out the way to specifically counter some of those lists. And then there'll be the group of players who go, okay, that's a sweet list. I'm just going to play it.
Yeah.
So,
which is interesting because I'd say the meta is so narrow at this point that roguing is really rough. Like, you know, guys like KCS could really fuck it, you know, because you make a list designed to just house any of those. And then he puts a huge force in the middle of the fucking table and AoE, you know, hellmouths everybody and.
But sometimes you're really banking hard on it being those lists.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of a sudden you run into U-Butch.
Yeah.
And U-Butch is like, I don't need to see you. Just come over here to this side of the table and I'm going to kill you.
Nah. Actually, the KC's U-Butch comp, it worked out for me having played it, but it's actually tougher than it's a...
No, but I think a lot of KC's players might not see some of the things that Butcher does in that situation coming. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, that's what happened in your games. It's certainly... Mm-hmm. They didn't see it coming when it happened, but... So yeah, it's dangerous if you're gonna make a list that is pared down to one trick to counter a specific part of the meta, and then someone else is trying to come in rogue or doing something more classic, then maybe it's just gonna kick you in the teeth. So.
Oh god, yourself Harbinger and fucking Kriel's and
shit. Everybody's favorite.
Don't forget Sevi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the High Reclaimer, apparently. Apparently that's happening.
To be fair. Ted is now running PSEVs.
Yep.
I played against that today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sick of not being able to cast my spells ever.
Yep.
Like, I was really, really old against Manoth.
It was a pretty solid list he had.
And Iron Manoth is so good.
Yeah. It's actually good to see that Manoth is actually good against Crix now, as opposed to...
I'm not cool with this.
Yeah, it used to just kind of be like, strangely, Signar was really good against Crix, because it's just that Eyeless Sight and all the gun lines, and it was just crazy.
You just shoot them down before they ever get a chance to play
the game. Yeah, but now if Manoth finally has enough denial or whatever...
And they have their own shooting now.
Yeah, they've always had a lot of denial, but...
Yeah, now they got errands that are sweet as shit. Yeah. They've got Reckoners and...
Yeah.
Very annoying.
So if the Paper Rock Scissors finally works out the way it's supposed to. Because as a Kaldor player, I feel comfortable against Signar. Signar feels pretty comfortable against Menoth. Menoth feels comfortable against Crix. Crix feels comfortable really against everybody.
Man. No, I
didn't say. Crix just like, oh, yay!
Yeah. Sure. And, well, I'm probably going to do still P-Hexy. Mm-hmm. That's dealing with a lot of... It deals with Morvana. It deals with Gatsby. It deals with kind of Denegra a little bit. Because if you pop feet after hers, you're using their models to kill their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not being actually affected by
the feet.
Her feet.
Is his feet living only?
Nope. Okay. Undead.
Well, crap.
Yep. And removes him from play.
Well, crap.
Yeah. Yep. That's why he gets run. And then Rasheth, but after the last tournament we had down here, I was running very heavy beast, very heavy armor penetrating, and everyone was running infantry, tons of infantry. Hmm. And Deathclaw does that. You can run infantry again.
Yep.
And so I was kind of meditating for, I kept, my list was set up for the 7-minute turn.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, I have a lot of time left, because we'd look at my opponent's time and my time, and I had like a half hour left, and they're down to like 10 minutes. And I'm like, I'm running these really efficient lists that don't need to be shit. So I went with going out of tier with him, running the three incorporeal arc nodes.
Yep.
So running two Feralgeist and a Void Spirit. And then two units of Gators still, but also now having Witch Doctors to support them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
super good.
Yeah, so that list is really annoying. I read that in a 15-man or 15-point just recently. And
you're running the solo that makes mercs better?
Yeah, yeah. So it's those two as support for chain gang.
Yeah.
And so the things that dropped out of that list was one of my heavies and the two agonizers. I like agonizers, but
they're not. You dumped them both.
Yeah, dumped them both. Just because people weren't running jacks, or even the beast lists were not as heavy, so... He's great against living in tons of infantry, so I see infantry spam, I'm running Rasheth against him, and I can run up and use the incorporeal arc nodes to blow up stuff with Bok. And
yeah. I mean, the only lament I have is dropping the agonizers, because those are really good at fucking over Crix.
They are, but he already has a spell that removes all their arc nodes.
Yeah.
And he's got it 16-inch.
If he really doesn't need it.
No.
Yeah.
So I just walk up, go, I'll kind of keep that spell up, and your arc nodes are not functioning and mine are.
Yep.
And if you don't have a magic weapon over there, well, that's going to suck.
The trick, though, to make a World of Tanks analogy.
Oh, God damn it.
Yes, please.
Is Rasheth is Ahri. And Ahri doesn't need to be driving up the board.
No.
And getting blown.
I know. That's why I'm doing the Arcanaut trick.
Yeah.
It's because I was having to.
You like to be back in the corner, blowing up the whole board.
The scenarios
board.
Don't let me do that
if
anymore.
If Ahri's capping flag, something bad's happening.
Yeah. Game over. Or Nigel ran out of ammo.
Or I ran out of ammo.
That might be a thing, too.
Yeah.
But. So that'll help out a lot. And also, I'm not killing my gators as I'm doing it. Also, I really like that, the sack, although killing gators, the sack pawn thing for, the witch doctor is sweet.
Yeah, it's good. I found with Malok, it's really hard to pull off. The range is rough. And then they just get them killed.
I got it off on, Wes's brother, Braden.
Yeah.
He wasn't expecting it. He's running who's the Legion caster that has Dark Guidance, Starts to see.
The Jam of Everblight.
Yeah. He is up there with fury on him and sitting in front of the Gator Man. He's like, well, I'll blow that guy up and do POW 16 to you. Oh, that's straight dice.
Yep.
He's like, oh, shit.
So it never hurts to have an extra tool in the bay.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't come up very many games.
Yeah.
It at least gives him a shot at somebody, so he's not completely... Also, there's no roll to it. I mean, it's an auto.
Callus.
Callus. Dang. Yeah, yes. Thank you.
I knew as soon as I started touching my iPad, I figured it out.
I was like, Cassius? No.
No, it's like Cassius. Man.
Callus.
Yeah, but then, those are fun lists. And then, you know, they're both really decent casters and tons of Gators. I like Gatorman.
Yep.
Gatorman are sweet. Nigel was even like pulling out all his actual Gatormans and looking at them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the minions is one of those things like I almost want to bring them just so I can play on Saturday and goof off of them. And then
you totally should.
If I get them painted, I can show them off.
God, they'd be legit in the 35-point hardcore.
Yeah, I can say.
Yeah.
I really would love to play that army, just the Gator army. Their beasts are fucking awful. Yep. I keep looking at them going, why do you suck so much? You
have the trick, as most people figured out, is not take the beasts. You just take like the one per bank.
A ton of Gatormans.
Yeah.
And some bog.
Three units of Gatormans and
I also want that.
But they're fun.
But I also want that little unit of zombie bog trogs. Those guys are fucking sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, the shamblers.
Yeah, also, I was like, goddamn.
I really love the fucking turtle.
I love Turtlemans.
Turtlemans.
Just not good.
And your fixed wrestler.
Yep.
Yeah. So he doesn't have the cobra hood anymore.
Much better.
Your wrestler's sweet.
Yep.
But the rest of them
is legit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do the super Rube Goldberg machines where you're throwing like 12 things down the table and then using Rise to make them stand up. And basically, you try to clock yourself out on turn two and see if you can get the assassination.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of Death Clock and talk of all this infantry, we might want to mention that last chance qualifier and things at War Machine Weekend are not Death Clock.
Correct.
Oh, they're not.
Be prepared for standard time turns.
Yep. 10-minute turns.
Yep. Damn
it. 5-minute extension.
Because
should be hairy.
Anything at War Machine Weekend at 10 o'clock?
I'm not sure
who's the boss might be. Oh, I'm Masters.
Yeah.
I don't think
Is that because of just time, or is it just
there's too many death clocks, especially for the last chance, because there's going to be at least 100 people in the last chance.
So the shop here will have 11. I'll email Carl and see if like we bring 11 down, and maybe then Muzan Minis brings, if the Mayhem brings theirs down.
I know Madison's got a bunch.
Yeah. We can try to collect and make it a fun tournament instead of time turns.
They're all just death clock all weekend. The only thing is that death clock, I think the little secret that's sort of snuck out though is that death clock tournaments, even though it doesn't make sense, tend to take longer.
Yeah.
So that might be just more of a speed issue. They just want to get them done.
Yeah.
The tournaments.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. But also I've noticed that some of the games lasted longer, it seemed.
Because both people are more inclined to take their time and milk the entire event versus in a, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense actually, to be honest.
No.
Because it's like, you just get 2 hours.
There's always games that go to dice down.
Yeah. To the players, it feels like it takes longer. To the TO, it feels the same.
No, I mean, the TO is like when we went to Madison, they were saying that one of the weird effects of Death Clock is the tournaments actually take longer.
Like
the rounds take longer. We don't know, it doesn't make sense, but it just does. Hmm. So, you say it's 2 hours, and then that's setups included in that, and you would think at a hard cap 2 hours, that if that's what the rounds are, but for whatever reason, that takes longer most often.
Oh, well, I know part of it.
Sometimes it's discipline. You gotta just, get your ass at your table, get your clock, and start fucking setting up.
Well, part of it, too, is with standard terms, you have a chance of going to lower total round length.
Round length, and then also, because it's time turns, people are timing out mid-turn all the time. So it's like, there's a lot of rounds that don't go to dice down.
Right.
So
in something like War Machine Weekend's last chance qualifier, like the first 5 rounds are going to go to dice down. There's just too many people to avoid it.
That's true.
Yes. But with the option of, or the possibility of going down, a lot of TOs will just, went down.
Yeah.
Shorter turn.
Yeah, it's not always random. We'll just throw that out there. Yeah. Sometimes people want dinner.
Yeah.
it does give you the ability to play the game, play a game with the clock and make the tournament.
Yep.
To a length that is appropriate for what you have for time to.
Yep.
But then you're playing with time turns, and it's just not as fun as Death Clock. Damiano is not going to enjoy the time turns.
No.
To be fair, though, I kind of like time turns in that it is a skill, right? So playing fast and accurately is a skill to develop, and I think time turns does kind of develop that further.
Yeah.
Whereas Death Clock lets you derp around as much as you want and not improve your skills.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't improve your skills, you're assassinated on turn 3 either game, so.
Not unless you just dick around the entire time, like some players we have down here who just take forever. They manage to not get assassinated, but draw the game out way long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's players who are good at just playing the clocks, too. I mean, it's either way.
Well, there's also, it really affects your list, because, again, I was playing lists that were set up for the 7-minute turn.
10-minute.
10-minute turn, and the my opponent had crazy infantry spam, so, my list would still affect, be good in, at 10 minutes, and there shouldn't.
So. It's just the time arc. Like Nigel has mentioned repeatedly when talking about death clock. It's like, I need 5 minutes maybe to do my first turn. Then the second turn, a lot of times, is that's a big one. You know, I'd like 20. Having 15, 20 minutes. And then after that, the game's, you know, you're starting to trade. Now I don't have to activate as much. I don't have to deal with certain things. Like once you pop a feat, that's usually a long turn for a lot of casters.
Yeah. By turn three, it should be 225 point lists going at it or worse, you know? So it's, you just, the models aren't there to even take up that much time. So. Yeah, it's interesting though, Death Clock, like I've been sort of feeling it out. I've been sort of pushing my time envelope a little bit on purpose to sort of see how to shore it up and speed things up. Because one of the things in the old days with the time turns, or you know, the weird, is certain armies play better when they can get like 8 turns deep into games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to sort of, in a Death Clock, you're parceling out your own resources. So if you can get that deep into games, it's a strategy to think about again.
Well, I think you hit it right there, is that in Death Clock, time is a resource.
Yeah.
Rather than something, it's a constraint with time turns.
Yep. Yeah, so you want to think of a list that's designed to go, it's an idea, a lot of games, like, for instance, I would say Keith's lists are designed to play 4 turns. You know, that's sort of the, if it's going longer than 4 turns, something's gone wrong and he's possibly in deep shit. And Epic Kane's a similar type of player. E. Haley's a similar type of player. She doesn't like to sort of have the game drag on a little bit. But Kador and Menoth love games that go deeper than 6 turns.
Yeah. Great attrition play. They just love it.
Yeah. So, Death Clock, I've got to sort of practice that little bell curve. It's got to be like 3 minutes turn one, then 20 minutes turn two, and then like 7, 7, 7, 7, as many sevens as I can get before I run out of time.
It's really annoying to hit the shift and be like, okay, now I'm going to play time turns. I've been practicing this arc for my Death Clock. Now I've just got, it's 10, 10, 10, or 10, 15, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 from then on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2013 is a little tough because you can't necessarily just have, the other thing too is, you lose on scenario pretty fucking quick. So you can't, one of the things I used to default do is if I couldn't necessarily churn. So now it's like, I've always got to try to win scenario and cast or kill. And it takes me like 5, 7, 8, 10 minutes. You know, you really have to think about it hard every turn. Because if you don't, and you just kind of do a light attrition, you get dinked on those two. Particularly scenario though. Scenario is the ones like they just start racking up some cheat points here and there, and it could fuck you hard.
Yep.
So, this game, it's like, you're constantly pushing your models in the middle of the table, and you can't just push them in there willy-nilly, so you're thinking about everything a lot harder, and, there's way more sort of sacrifices and trade choices you're making, and, standard attrition.
I would say one of the good things is I think it probably has forced you to shift your thoughts, so now that when you go to time turns, you're playing aggressively enough that you can win if you go to dice down. Whereas a lot of times when you go to dice down, you wouldn't have the tiebreakers in place because you were going strictly to the attrition game.
Yeah, exactly. And so in the old days, I would always lose on dice downs, but like I would have 35 of their army points versus 8 of mine lost. You know, so I was crushing them in attrition, but I could never play in scenario. And it's like, if the game took too long, then it's like, oh, I'd just lose.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you have to just try to hang in there. You're just throwing models away. So sometimes, I love SR 2013, but some of that I don't like is that you don't always get to meaningfully, you know, use your troops. Or meaningfully is, like, sacrificing them in, like, this controlled sort of loss. Just try to keep your toe in on that. So that kind of sucks in some ways, but.
And then you put Kossites in your list, and then you're like, oh, they're not meaningful anyway.
Yeah, but now you're paying a 10% tax to do it, you know? So 10% of your army list is a scenario tax. And same thing with like a Devastator. Then that's like 20% of your army list is a scenario tax.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things.
But that was a tax that was getting paid in time turns. I mean, the Devastator was still there, still for the same purpose to try to get you games. So it,
if it has like a gray, it's normal, instead of a silver lining, maybe a poopy lining.
Yeah. But yeah, the tax on a Devastator was something that still existed in a lot of lists that were being made here for Kador because it was an adjustment to try to deal with that issue of the tiebreakers in a time turn. So, I mean, that was probably the first initial shift into the changes of the meta around here from attrition to trying to deal with scenario play because it was causing so many issues.
Well, for a lot of Connor players, Devastator lets you still do attrition. And so you'd run that thing up, hold on to the objective while your army's doing what it normally does. I understand what you mean with attacks because you had to dedicate points to it. But it was such a not throwaway piece because it lets you kind of just run it up there.
Well, he was a very one-trick pony. Like, he ran up and sat there while your rest of your army did work.
But the worst part is he can't ever do anything, because if he ever opens up, he gets blown up, and you just give away 10% of your list.
Yeah. So,
or 20% of your list,
It took away from your killing power, but it gave you a piece to sit in the scenario and tell him to smack it.
Yeah, and he has a couple of his own tricks, because he's got bulldoze and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's better places to put those points when you can. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, now shifting wholly to how can I work around the scenario has brought you to some lists that I think are much better in for that type of midfield play where you're trying to deal with both that you may not have ever explored.
The one thing I thought was interesting was that because the Conquest was one of the first Colossus to show up, the Cotter players down here used it instead of the Devastator as that piece. Mm-hmm. And they thought, you know, it's better than.
I think we still are.
I think some people are. I think it's turned back into being more of the gun platform that I think it was intended to be.
Well, I think when they first started, they said, oh, hey, this is a Devastator and a Behemoth in one.
I think the Conquest is a huge piece of shit. I think the only thing the Conquest is good for is Galleons and Stormwalls. That's it.
You punch them to death.
That's it. It's just bad at everything else. I mean, you can just get better shooting from the Behemoth. The Behemoth is, for point efficiency-wise, just better all around.
To me, it's if they had made its stupid denial effect.
The worst part is they probably designed the Stormwall first, and then they were like, well, what do we do with Kador? And they made Ghetto Stormwall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hooray.
Yeah, it's just a fucking garbage. And then the two shots you have to like hit with the first one to
and then
shoot
you can
the
make
second
the
time.
Second, and it's the same target. And
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, you don't have to actually hit with it. You just have to shoot the same thing twice.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a poop gun. Why not have it just be three shots then, rather than G3? If you have to shoot the same fucking thing three times.
Right.
But then they couldn't do that, because if you ever meet something stationary and then shot it three times.
Well, only, you know, most of the other Colossals have a D3 attack. You can't go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sort of...
Yeah. He definitely was kind of unfulfilling.
Yeah, the Thal 6 Creeping Barrages are garbage.
That's the worst part of him, too. Yeah, it's like he's got an entire effect that is just useless.
He doesn't feel very Kadoran, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't feel all that stompy, because all the Colossals are stompy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel all that tough, because he's got, like, the same armor as fucking Behemoth.
Right? That's pretty tough, though.
I mean, but...
He also has, like, the most boxes. He's got a, you know, PS-22 naturally on his fist. He's punchy and hard to kill.
What makes him scary is mechanics, is that we have, like, some of the best mechanics.
Well, it would be nice, like, you look at some of the Kador stuff, and it really does well what it does, right? So a few things. You have some combined arms pieces like Behemoth that are both really good at shooting and really good at punching the shadow stuff. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice that the Stormwall is really good at shooting shit, right?
It's really good at punching shit.
It is, but it main thing is it just shoots stuff, right?
Well, it also, it actually goes with their whole combined arm philosophy. So you can use your Stormsmiths with it. You can
it's like sort of the ultimate piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My point being, it represents the faction better.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Unlike the Conquest, which doesn't really do anything all that great.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it's still got the same Kadoran shitty stat line. You know, Mat 6, Rat 4.
I mean, you look at most Kadoran jacks, and you're looking at mediocrity. It's the characters.
Yeah,
that are sweet.
I cannot believe it doesn't have like two destroyer. You know, I mean, could they just repeat the bombard? Yes. Yeah. If it's only guns, get rid of that stupid destroyer cannon, the big super thing. If it had a 2D3 indirect fire POW 14s, you know, so it's like crazy.
It was a super behemoth.
Yeah, super behemoth.
It's already in faction.
Yeah.
Right. Bombards are the thing that they're known for.
Yeah.
Right. That would have been sweet.
Correct. Or or if it had two bombards that were mortars. You know, like the inches.
You just mounted actual mortars to its shoulders and called it a day.
Yeah, exactly. You could even put crew up there. It'd be hilarious.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. And make them inaccurate. Nobody would have gave a shit.
Or you make them the giant fucking Devastator that we were hoping it's going to be, and it's just a giant walking armor piece of death that you're never going to kill.
Yep.
Which is very Kadoran.
Yeah, you look at all the other factions, you're like, okay, well, why didn't I get the guns on the Galleon? I could have had those. That could have been fun. Or then you look at the Stormwall. Oh, well, this is just sad. I mean, all around, you got the double scattering on the Judicator. It's just all these effects.
Which, again, feels very in-faction.
It's just a matter of that, like, every effect that all the other ones have seem a little more unique.
Yeah.
Then the Conquest is just kind of the middle of the road, generic Cotter Jack that you're used to.
Yeah.
People get used to the Behemoth and Beast 09 being super sweet, cool jacks, but when you look at Cotter Jacks as a whole, Conquest fits perfectly. It's mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, then I go and look at my Merc Jacks, and I'm like, I kind of miss my mediocre Cotter Jacks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you have a sweet Galleon.
They have a few sweet... I mean, it's not... They're both their Colossals, I would say, are better, and they have a few other sweet jacks, but then they also have a lot of PS-17, doesn't do a lot else stuff sitting around in their faction, so there's always a trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort of lamenting with the WTC and sort of thinking about how Crix did. They go in my wah-wah crumb-bumming Cotter. One of the things that this sort of bugs me is, like, Retribution, one of their big weaknesses is stealth, and it's a problem. And it is with Cotter, too. Mm-hmm. And it's in Magic Attacks with Cotter. It's one of those... if we want any kind of substantial stealth mitigation, you got the Death Star, which is okay, but it's only against crappy troops. It's like only against like stealth troops. But if you want something that's like battle group stealth busting, you have to pay 10 fucking points. 20% of your list is there to have a 14-inch threat. It's like, oh, God, it's just brutal. Just making lists right now is hair-raising.
Most of the time, the Spriggan just he won't be that useful to your end-game plan either.
Yeah. The Butcher right now is my anti-stealth. You Butcher, that's the only reason why I'm taking him as my alt list.
Because he just kills everything.
Because it's just like, fuck you, I'll just give within 15 inches and fucking chop your head off.
Shooting's for chumps, come here.
Yeah, but that's just a miserable way to have to fucking counter stealth.
And he's the only tough mitigation and healing mitigation. So, I mean, it's not bad to have it as one of those.
Yeah.
Like, it helps with Harvey, it helps with trolls, it helps with...
It's just sort of, the Spriggan's nice because it's not a character, but yeah, list building with character restricted format because Ina Holt only gets to be in one list. Yep.
And, they're kind of a big deal to Cotter.
Yeah, they are. They're such a big deal to Cotter.
I have the same problem when I'm building Merc lists. It's like, where's my Ina Holt?
Yeah. Oh, Wishnailer's also a little big deal in Cotter too.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you have Ragman. Yeah, he kind of has to be there. I like not being there. That part's really nice. Someday maybe character restrictions will wane.
Yeah, I really can't stand character restrictions. I like two list format, but I can't stand character restrictions.
I still like it. I still think it provides for difference in lists and creativity based on constraint.
I think there's aspects to the game that it might balance one area, and then certain areas feel it to a much greater degree when they're trying to build their lists.
Yep.
Well, I think they're starting to mitigate that though with some of the solos I'm putting out and everything. I think that's kind of the future there. They recognize that things like Mercs do suffer hard from it, and so they're giving things. I suspect, and I predict that we'll see more things that mitigate some of these issues that you have in the future.
I think it makes making a Merc list really aggravating. Like, the Dougal McNeil problem. I mean, it's just such an issue.
Dougal's a huge issue. That's why I'm loving the Damiana list.
Keep in mind
it's a list that didn't need Dougal.
Dougal's also so fucking good.
Well, look at Merc Infantry and go, what infantry do I want to take? Okay, there's about four units you really want.
Yep.
Every one of them's a character.
Well, let's put it this way, though. Who gets fucking hit harder by character restrictions? Crix or Mercs?
Oh, definitely Mercs. I agree.
It's like, so essentially character restrictions is just a bunch of cunty bullshit that only affects everybody but Crix, essentially.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, you can't have Tartarus in both
Signar
lists.
Can do really well with character restrictions, too.
Signar, Math has no problems. Lots of actions do not care.
Signar, I actually have a miserable time making character restricted lists.
You are clearly just need to expand your thought process.
No, Ireland Strange Ways should almost be in every list. And yes, that sucks that he can't be. And
yeah, because he's so good.
He's the only guy, but he's just like this weird guy that got caught in splash damage.
But they've got the Squire. They don't need Wishnailer. And Squire's not a character.
And that's one thing. Those things are characters.
Ireland Strange Ways, though. Fucking A. But guess what Crick's got? A Warwish Siren. Guess what she's not? A character. Thank you.
What, you
couldn't make that
Lords,
a fucking character.
Same deal.
What's that?
No. If you ever compare Cold Lord to a Warwich Siren again.
How dare you, son of a bitch.
Isn't the Cold Lord restricted?
No.
He is. Yeah. The Cold Lord is
FA1.
But he's not a character. He's not a character.
I mean, he's restricted.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Sirens, you can almost make like a list of just them. Yeah. Why not make him FAU?
It makes sense.
Yeah. There's three of them.
There might be two. I think it's two.
There's probably two.
I think it's two. Yeah. But yeah, it's there's no question that Crix, is like
It's just amazing how they.
Oh, boo, I can only have Tartarus in one list.
It's like the roadrunner of social.
No, I am 100% behind that. Right, I'm okay with having Tartarus in one list because it makes me actually think about what I'm going to put in my other list.
Yeah, the Texas Raider boats.
But half the time, if
Texas Raiders backed by Mechthralls, it's so rough.
The question is, if Tartarus wasn't character restricted, did you gain anything?
Well, he's not in both lists.
No.
Okay, are Bane Thralls? No, not if you're running Denny. Yeah. So who the fuck cares if Tartarus is character restricted? You weren't going to take him in both lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, but keep in mind, I mean, back in the day, how many times did you see him in both lists? You saw him all the time.
My question is,
you saw people taking Bane.
Tartarus only freaks out if Banes are in the list. You don't need Tartarus without Banes.
Right.
So there's no, So, I mean.
How many characters in Crix do you have to take to solve a problem? How many of them give you magic weapons and that's your only way to give out magic weapons for your entire faction?
I don't have a way to do that.
Yeah, because half your shit's like magic. Or...
Yeah. So
One thing, you're back on the fucking War with Sirens again.
What?
You just really hate Sirens?
Well, I mean,
they're Mat 5! Fuck you!
They have Arc Nodes and some of the craziest offensive spellslingers.
There's that fancy Arc Node thing you guys know about that Connor just can't get figured out.
There are so many ways to, like, fuck that over.
Yeah, so sure. many. Hitting defense 15, usually 17, because they're towing in something. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's the easiest thing ever.
Those three Resheth players and all those Chromac players are just shutting me down. I don't know what to do.
Hey, I played, like, I fucking played Menoth 2 weeks in a row, and the entire list is fuck you, can't touch me with spells. And it's getting so fucking annoying.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. The more Crix is annoyed, the happier the rest of us
are. I can't wait for Crix to get Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, right?
they'll get it.
Yeah.
They'll get a better version of it. They'll have a bond corrosive. Of Erebus, yeah. It'll be a bond of Erebus where you just always roll a 6.
Yeah, but then somebody will actually finally take Erebus.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So problem solved.
Woo.
Yep. All you have to do is glue on, like, the Dribble Skull upgrade.
We're going to totally get another... Oh, there's too much Crix hate.
I know. Fucking A. Fuck Crix, though. Anyways. No, I'm back in. I've recovered.
Back in Crix?
If you drink enough scotch, you're back in it to win it.
But the main point of the conversation is that character restrictions it hurts the factions that need to be the most, that need to be hurt the least. At the end of the day.
Maybe that was a poor design choice. On their part.
I mean, I can see where character restrictions does, you know, it makes people think, it makes you change your list, but I think it has too big of an impact on certain factions to make it a balanced mechanic.
I think it was to stop certain factions from keeping certain. Menoth has a lot of characters that keep spamming, and you'd see them in every list. You'd see the book.
Yeah. I call character restrictions, I actually call it the Grigorovich rule. It's essentially, that's all it's fucking is. And it's somehow, cause Crix makes out scot-free. Tartarus isn't such a big deal, but the Grigorovich, if you could take Grigorovich in both lists, the Winter Guard Death Star is such a point efficient. Yeah. It's probably the best point buy in the game period. It's like a 13 point full pack, full module that just owns everything.
Yes.
And if Kador could fucking solve all their problems in both lists.
17 points.
No.
It's 13.
It's 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4-6, then plus 3-9, UA 11, and Grigorovich 13.
Jesus Christ,
forgot
about that.
They're actually good when you have all the tools.
Best unit in the game.
Yeah.
I'm likely to agree.
And I mean, there was like a little window there where just every Kador list was double Death Star with double Kyazis, and then that was sort of the list would sort of unpack from that.
And it was scary, because, you know, for a while there, in Mark 1, Kador was just rocking it. You can't have that happen ever again. You just can't sit at the top.
Yeah, then character restrictions came and solved that.
Well, I mean, do you really want to see Gorman in every list, Saxon in every list,
the way they got combine hell yeah. in every list? Why not? If you're gonna have the tools, if you're gonna have the factions,
why have two fucking lists then?
Correct.
God damn it, Nigel.
Yeah, you bring up that point.
No.
Why have two lists? You should. Here, let's put it this way: you would still have two lists. It just shouldn't be enforced. Like it should be. I think all tournaments should be two list format, but they shouldn't necessarily be divide and conquer. Because you just shouldn't have to play it. What you were trying to two list is play list chicken. So you're making two lists that solve a skew problem. So you have a scenario list and you have a whatever list. Or you have an armor list and an infantry list. So then you can choose, you know, your tournament. But it's kind of nice if you could actually tactically choose rather than play the stupid fucking game at the end, which is which list is available. Or I've got to throw this list under the bus at some point and hope I win. Because I want to have it available in my last round.
It's a middle ground between, you know, like the Iron Gauntlet. In standard SR.
Yep.
It's like, okay, I can get around my character restriction because I'm just going to take Crix and Signar and I have no overlap, so who the fuck cares?
Yep.
Now we keep it in faction, we just don't do character restriction, and then you're building your lists to the game and seeing what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staunchly opposed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Try to take those dwarfs to a tournament. You'll suddenly be on board.
I disagree that the biggest reason I disagree with it is it's because it's the largest elephant in the room as far as people bitch about the game developing, like the French meta thing came up. Oh, they're all painted and blah, blah, blah. And they have paint requirements in their tournaments and they give you points.
And they have soft scores because they have soft scores.
And yeah, exactly. And everybody's worried about this like GW avalanche of like GW soft scoring. Essentially, list restrictions is coming about it the opposite way. It's essentially the same. It's that GW bullshit mentality, which is like, I don't want to have to play that. And then they say, so they take it out.
Characters today.
Yeah, so I'm going to social engineer the game so I don't have to deal with what I don't like dealing with. But you still have to fucking deal with it. Like, that means there's a 75% chance you have to deal with it any fucking way, because it's always character. It's always Divide and Conquer 1.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Divide and Conquer's half a joke now. So
what would you feel better if we just did no Divide and Conquer? You have two lists and play whatever you want all day.
Yeah, this is something you as a PG should, but I'm just saying in general, like for these large format tournaments, it's sort of like the social engineering of the game is just sort of lame. I don't know. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't balance anything. It's not accomplishing anything. It's just GW players who want more fluffy variety bullshit and they've got their brains tricked. They think that Keith is going to be somehow less great at winning every tournament.
If you have Tartarus in both lists.
I disagree. I think it does provide, and we can just stop talking about this at this point because we're saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, I know, it's whatever. Maybe the.
But my point being, I think it really does mean that you're going to see different lists from players, right? And even if you don't do Divide and Conquer 1, you're still going to see two different lists. Even one person plays the same list all day long, right?
You will never see different lists. Here's why. You will see different lists. So you'll have 60, let's say you have a 64 player tournament.
Yep.
You'll see a lot of different lists. But when you get to the top 8, it's going to be the same fucking list you've always seen. And then all character restriction did was cause a lot of fucking people to derp in with some derpy lists that got racked, you know? It's sort of a...
Yeah. At top 8 at War Machine Weekend, you'll be able to go check off those lists from the WTC list.
That's true.
You're going to see tons of tier lists and fluffy lists and things of the 150 people that'll be playing in it during the first few rounds. And then those people will lose. Yep. And then top 8 will be the lists that are...
Ultimately, I think, like, why Mercs have a big bitch, and why Kotar specifically also has a big bitch in this fight, is when they make their two lists, it's actually doesn't promote any kind of actual creativity. Like, if you could put Durgan in both lists, it would allow you to make, or not Durgan, Dougal McNeil in both lists.
Yeah.
It allows you to flex some creative muscle on how both those lists behave, because he enables different things. So you could have, Steelhead Rifleman in one list and Nis Hunters in the other list. And he's sort of buffing who he's buffing gets different, possibly based on who, the list builds are. You'd be amazed at how often once you take like a series of characters off the table for your second list, it sort of has to write itself. So, I mean, when you go into it, you're just like, okay, which caster's getting the Death Star and which caster's getting Valachev and / Wishnailer, or whatever. And then they sort of, you end up parting the Red Sea of your codex or army book.
I think part of that is that. So, character restriction came in as a fix, in a way, right? That shouldn't have had to be in the first place. So, the point is, a lot of these really good things that are characters should not have been characters in the first place, right? But they were because that was the way that Mark 1 fluffy fun was going, right? Now that it's Mark 2 and we're actually more competitive than we were back then, right? If these things weren't character restricted, would you have the same bitch? Right, if you could have a non-character guy who does the same thing as Dougal does,
yeah, correct. Then I wouldn't be complaining though.
And also, they're starting to do that now. I mean, like
that's my point.
Yeah, the new Kovnik, the new everyone's getting one guy that's not a character.
Right, I think we're going to see more of that in the future.
Yeah. I like to see more of that.
That would be fantastic.
I think right now the bitching is, from what I'm hearing, is that, and funny, Crix players have forgotten this. They're the first guys who got it. They got the War Witch. They got the
Sea Captain.
The Sea Captain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are all, those are all the fucking.
The Pro.
Scarlak. They've been the ones who've gotten the toy first.
They got so many, characters that they just didn't care about. It's like, why do I need this?
Like the Cankerworm. The Cankerworm is great, but you only need it in a Gatsby list. And then you only get to take the, the Wither Shadow Combine's great, but there's certain lists you just don't need them in, so you can easily.
Yeah. Pete Denny doesn't need them.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with, some stuff in Kato or like, you don't need the Black 13th in every list.
No. No, but fuck, they're 4 points. Why wouldn't you? Honestly, if you didn't have character restrictions, why would you ever not put them in every list? Because they make they're just crazy good. But, they're good in a way that's not like crazy. You know, doesn't like just they don't like enable everything for the army. Like Tartarus and Grigorovich enable craziness.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas the Black 13th and the Great Bears really don't. Like the Withershadow Combine enables craziness, though. I mean, disbinding and then or their puppet version strings. Of it. Yeah, puppet strings, fucking shit, that's nuts. And a free upkeep on top of it.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's the amount of support plus offense. You know, it's they're working on so many levels. Again, it's one of those typical crazy units. 32 thing, and they're making free jacks. It's like, what? Why is that? And they're weapon masters
that,
against
that
jacks.
Actually doesn't happen all that often, to be honest.
I've got it to go.
Yeah, you've got it to go, but it doesn't happen all
that
often.
The point is, if it doesn't happen all that often, why is it on the card?
Right.
It's like, you know, they would be just as good against, you know.
There was still room.
Yeah.
That's the reason. They got done printing. They're like, wait stealth. A minute. We got some room in here. Let's
fire
go
beams
back.
Beams of death, you know.
Only power 12 beams of death.
Oh, only.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Yeah. They collect souls.
And there's stealth. Anyways, never mind. It's turning into Critch bitching again.
Yeah. But, and we're beating a horse that got beat to death back when character restrictions were put in. Yeah. I mean, it's annoying. I think there might be, enough things have come out, enough things have shifted that it might be time to rethink.
That's, I think,
what
my point.
What it's there though.
Because the writing on the wall is like everybody, there is a little bit of a swell of like, when's Mark III coming out? And, SR 2013 was great. But they could probably spruce it up a little bit just to sort of, you know, goof with stuff.
Yeah, and if the Iron Arena is the test of, you know, who's the best of the best, you know, the best War Machine player ever, and that gets around character restrictions, why are they there elsewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens. Will the list turn into, you know, the exact same five fucking models on the table?
Well, like as a Cotter player, I know you would see 4 points in every list, maybe 7 points. I mean, for me, it's the same 7 points. It's Epic Iris and Iron Hulk. You just see them in all my lists.
Would you just then prefer that they got a Coil Nord that gave out magic weapon?
Well, I almost think that that's what specialists should be, is characters that sort of, like specialists could maybe be 5 points, and it's characters that are outside the character restriction.
That I would like, because it's basically just the sideboard.
Yeah.
It's your sideboard as in magic. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about that last time. This game's kind of similar to Magic.
Yep.
It's your sideboard. I think your specialist list should be a group of characters or whatever that can be dropped into either list, and that doesn't add to your, you can't have them in your main, but they're
that's kind of what mercenaries actually are, right? Yeah. So, I mean, if instead of just having random things, the mercenaries acted as mercenaries, think of whatever list you put them in.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, actually, if they made mercenaries not character restricted, it's like, okay, in faction character restricted.
Yeah.
Except for mercenaries. There's a weird interaction there. That would suck still. But that's one thing they could do. I mean, there's a lot of ideas that they could expand on. I think they put in character restrictions. They left it. There's been no attempt to adjust now. Mm-hmm. And I think the game's changed enough that it's time to come back to it.
Yeah. I would revisit the specialist. They're onto something with specialists. I think if they revisited that 10-point bank. So say you make your two lists. You have one unit of specialists, it's 10, or whatever, you have a 10-point bank of specialists that can go into either or. And you have to be able to swap point for point. So then you would make a modular. So say me, I would go Iron Holt, Epic Iris, and we'll say Yuri the Axe. That's my 10 points of specialists. And in all my lists, I have my standard 50, and then I've got that, you know, some sort of thing. I'd have to take out, like, my Kossites and my Kossites in the War Dog to get an Iron Holt and, you know, Epic Iris. And so you should be able to play with both lists that way. But it's only 10 points. You can't get the full Wintergard Death Star in there. You can't get the full Bane boat.
But you can get the one part of the Wintergard Death Star.
You can get the one part. Yeah, you can get the Grigorovich in both, but yeah.
But I mean, it at that point, you can almost argue why have the character restriction to begin with. But then it still gives you a character restriction because you're limiting the number of points that aren't character restricted.
Correct.
So suddenly you have 10 points that aren't character restricted.
Yep.
You have one sideboard for both lists.
Hmm.
I think that would be awesome.
Hmm. I'm with you.
That would work great.
Something like that, just to sort of freshen it up. I hate smashing my head against the wall sort of on list creativity, because it's like, ultimately, you make a list that's great, and then one that's shit. And you can sit there and do like the lesser of evils, like, I'm going to divide the power so that they're both mediocre, or, you know, do weird stuff. But it's sort of...
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. It'll go nowhere. It'll be list restricted forever. I mean, you're sort of always bound by... But there's players who've had that affect their game, like... Jim, a Merc player, has sort of been out of War Machine. We haven't really been seeing much of him, period, because character restrictions just sort of got him out of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you play Retribution, it's just not fun, to be honest. Making lists, you know, it affects certain armies so differently than others. Hordes usually don't get affected, but like Marketh, Pillow Pants randomly just gets housed. That's a big effect.
COC is just like, what's a character restriction?
Yeah, exactly. COC doesn't give a shit.
And you know what? Speaking of that whole deal, right? You see some change in some of the beasts and stuff. You look at Legion, all of a sudden, all the really good shit that's just support stuff is all non-character restriction.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. And the more that comes out that's like that, the more it hurts Mercs, Kador, maybe Signar.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Anyways, that's me just bitching.
Yeah.
About the state of the game.
That's what we do on this podcast. That's we bitch.
Yeah. It's always the poopy lining.
Well, let's bring it up a notch. Let's bring it back to happy. Because I remember we were talking about what we were going to have here, and there was some hedgehog talk.
Oh, yeah, videos. If you want to have basically the best 20 minutes ever, go onto YouTube and look up hedgehogs versus cat. And there's like 80 videos. It's like just pages and pages of videos of people's house cats being, varying degrees of like, what the fuck is this to a hedgehog? It's amazing. It's like the best thing ever.
I was just half the cats try to sit on them.
Yeah, they're so fucking stupid. Or lay on them or weird stuff.
I told you, Fuzz would not get it. My cat is too fucking stupid to understand your hedgehog. He would try to eat it all day.
He'd be like, this hurts still. It would really hurt. I'm still going to eat it, though. And the hedgehog would love it. Yeah, Leorio is way too defensive. Like, it would be the worst matchup ever. Fuzz would just get owned.
He's too stupid to know he's getting owned, though. So it just wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Though, again, the best, my favorite, though, was the one where the hedgehog wasn't having it. It was like a Russian cat. And the hedgehog was just not having it. He just wanted nothing to do with the cat, and he had basically porcupined up, and he was completely, they basically circle the wagons, and they'll make a perfect seal to the floor. So it's just like a half ball of hate. And the cat was loving it. He was using it to scratch himself. So he was constantly like rubbing, and he eventually pushed it across the kitchen floor against the wall and was just smooshing against it, just like relaxing and getting like, oh, that's the spot. And like, hedgehog was like, fuck off. I hate you so much.
I think he just named our guild for World of Tanks too. Half ball of hate.
That's
just
perfect. Oh, yeah. Or Lambstrom.
What? To be fair, he had a ball, not half ball.
Oh, yeah, half ball. Or two half balls.
I don't think that's how it works. But,
right, they don't just split them both in half. Shave a little off the insides. Oh. I want the wishbone.
Frankenstein the two together.
Yeah. Speaking of Frankenstein. What the fuck?
See what I did there?
Yeah, see what you did there? Jamie, totally on point, nailing the segues.
Boom.
If you want to fucking make yourself rage, and if you're not raging at this, fuck you, stop listening to our podcast. on Hulu Plus, there's a preview for this movie called
I, Frankenstein.
But the movie poster is confusing because it also says in huge, the big title letters are Immortal. But then underneath it on the bottom, it's I, Frankenstein. I'm pretty sure the movie's called I, Frankenstein, but whatever. It stars Aaron Eckhart, and it's basically like if Underworld Legion, Van Helsing, and then of course Frankenstein took shit in a blender.
No, not Frankenstein. They've switched it. They fixed the issue.
And they fixed the issue.
Where everyone says Frankenstein and then another person in the room has to go, no, that was Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein's the doctor. Nope. Thrown out the window.
Yeah. It's freaking Frankenstein. He's his own doctor.
Yeah.
He made himself. So
God damn it.
Because they even asked him, who are you? I'm Frankenstein. They're like, holy shit balls. We're like Mary Shelley just fucking rolling over in her grave. Oh, I'm so pissed right now. And then you've watched the previews. It's like, why does he know Kung Fu? Why is he wearing a trench coat and knows
Kung
Fu? And
who's the angel? What the fuck is happening?
And
in
all
that
the other angel
goddamn
people. He's like fighting like the cast of the extra crappy graphics from Legion. They've like cut and pasted them into this one. So you're like,
instead of like possessing people, the angels know to turn into gargoyles.
Yeah.
Or something.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I think the one saving grace is there appears to be no dialogue in the movie.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's just at the end, Sam and Dean showing up and kill everybody. Show up with shotguns and just.
You mean it suddenly becomes the best movie ever?
Yeah, exactly. How does this movie get saved? The preview is so bad. I had you guys watch it on the iPad before the show. And I was kind of funny, like,
Stay tuned to the end
seen
of the show because I don't think Nigel realized I was recording it.
Oh, sweet. Yeah,
so stay tuned for our review of I Frankenstein.
Just the fucking preview.
We're seeing it.
Yeah, we have to go see it.
We're 100% seeing it.
There's no movie that's clear.
Fuck you guys.
Come on. No, you're
fuck
so coming.
Casey. Fuck you.
Look, this podcast has done so much. You
hate.
No, I mean, it's provided you so much, you've basically been able to make a living at this.
Yeah.
Yep. You make millions of dollars.
Tens of hundreds of dollars in the hole on this podcast.
Yeah. So what's $7? After all this podcast is done for you, paying $7 and wasting 2 hours of your life.
Keep on case. You're going to get so much
Season
more.
Season of the Witch. Fuck you.
Season of the Witch is...
you fucking suck.
You have to figure out what your good movies and your bad movies are.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Season of the Witch is amazing.
Yeah, you're retarded.
Just the whole part where you get to the end of the movie and you're like, it had wings. Yeah. It had wings the whole time.
It's the Lord of the Rings problem, of course. That was amazing. Basically, the whole thing was trolling Lord of the Rings.
In my defense, I have managed to avoid watching Season of the Witch.
It's legit.
You should go watch it right now.
Yes.
And then, MacGruber.
No.
Season of the Witch. I cannot believe you guys don't like MacGruber. That is crazy. That is one of the funniest movies. Well, it's...
Of
the last 3 years.
Whatever.
What?
Yeah. It's way funnier than... Wait, no, it's not. God
it's
damn
it. Fucking hilarious. Val Kilmer's amazing. The lines were amazing.
All right, I'll try watching it drunk next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'll get through it. We'll see. And yet, you'll watch that, and then you don't want to go see the new Machete movie, which appears to be MacGruber.
No, MacGruber's awesome.
Did you see the first Machete?
I did. It was stupid. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah. I saw the commercial in Death Proof was amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's like, I've got to go see that. And then
that
you saw it.
More than
like,
enough for
and,
you.
And this one, clearly from the trailer, they're like, let's take this as seriously as MacGruber. Like, that is exactly what they were doing with this movie, you're out.
It might come out. I'm just not that excited. You know what I mean? It's not that exciting. It's like, for example, Frankenstein is so fucking... Frankenstein's dumber than Machete in every way, and it's actually exciting because they clearly didn't intend it. It's Aaron fucking Eckhart. Yeah. Isn't he like, you know, thank you for not smoking, and he's like getting Oscars, and he's got this huge butt chin that's whatever, and he's just signed on to be... This fucking stupid. It was basically like the only reason to get Aaron Eckhart to do this movie was his butt chin saved them one special effects stitch on his face. It was just like, it just, a one less area of
his
face.
Don't forget his awesome chiseled abs.
Wow.
Yep.
And the man crush starts.
He is ripped in this movie.
It's long.
He clearly ate Liam Hemsworth and Bradley Cooper to get, to get a protein to get his BMI.
He gained their powers.
Yeah,
It looks like it's going to be the worst movie of the year, though. I mean, we're going to get that out of the way.
Holy crap, I can't believe it.
I'm so excited to see this now.
At least we're going into this one with lower expectations. It's not like Riddick, where we're like, it's...
Aaron Eckhart, though. What was Brandon Routh up to? They could have gotten, like, somebody who this movie would have expected this of, but Aaron fucking Eckhart? They just had to kill his perfectly good career. He's, like, on a perfectly good trajectory. And then then this happened.
Truckloads of money. It's the only way it happened.
Right.
It's all that Underworld money, which had to have been, what, $200? Like, how much money can they possibly back up?
Every once in a while, you see actors who were in the Underworld series, like, holy shit, that's the guy from Underworld, and he doesn't suck in this movie.
What are you, Bill Nighy, you talking about? What?
Well, no, he's awesome. No.
But
he's the only person from Underworld who doesn't suck at everything ever.
No, come on.
The lead vampire,
The problem with the people it wasn't the people in that movie that was the problem. It was everything else about Underworld. That was the problem.
The writing was the problem.
Yeah, no. Yeah. What?
No, the lead werewolf guy, right?
Yeah, ridiculous.
He was sweet. And then I saw him in Austin Land, and he was like the romantic dreamy guy, but he was rough around the...
Well, luckily I don't watch movies that have anything to do with anything you're saying right now.
What the fuck just happened? What the hell's wrong with
Jamie's
you?
Jamie's a sensitive kind of guy.
Fuck.
We're going to have to get Jamie. I would cuddle
worst
you so
werewolf
hard.
Guy ever.
I wish we actually had like film of this because right now half the table is melting down so much. That I just had is literally doing the fucking over the top turn.
Yeah, half side. Yeah. I'm bringing back the Fresh Prince of Bel Air look.
Are we battling Pokemon now?
What?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Battling Pokemon. What do you mean?
Wait, what?
They turn their hats sideways.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Did they steal that from Over the Top?
Yes.
No, Over the Top's just forward and back.
That's true.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's true. You do a little more of a fresh thing going on.
Definitely way more urban, yeah.
You are, in fact, throwing gang signs at me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that they should probably remake that. I hear his son's a great actor.
Yeah.
They could definitely handle that.
I just watched I Am Legend, right?
Wow. Why?
I don't know. To be fair, I watched The Omega Man right before it, so I was kind of on.
Did you turn it off halfway through?
Because
if I had done that, I would have been like, all right, that was an all right movie. Moving on with my life.
I Am Legend. God damn it.
But the part where he has to heal his dog, it's so, like, awesome and horrible.
Yeah.
Should have gotten an Oscar.
Yeah. No, that whole movie. Yay. What was the last movie he was good in?
Who?
Will Smith.
Oh.
Independence Day.
Ooh, that's a long time ago.
No.
Okay. Men in Black.
Men in Black.
Men in Black.
One. Not
yeah, just the one. Not three. One. Yeah, not three. Maybe two.
It came up today, like, at lunch with some of my friends and everything. We're talking about movies that were supposed to be a single-shot movie, ended up being a trilogy, and the second, third, or fourth, or fifth were always bad, right? And Men in Black is clearly one of those movies, where the first one was good, but it was never meant to be a trilogy, and they just had to farm it out and milk it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which they're turning Independence Day into now, apparently.
What? Really?
Yeah, there's going to be another Independence Day.
Yeah. Oh. What? Well, it comes up every year, so you'd think that'd be, you know, it should be, like, Independence Day type, you know, type whatever.
Hey, we pissed off those aliens. They got to come back eventually, right?
You know, there's a Jurassic Park 4 in the works, right?
Yep.
But do we know if it's the original one? So the original Jurassic Park 4 was supposed to be in the future, where they recloned the Velociraptors.
Were the dinosaurs recloned the humans?
No. That would be amazing. The dinosaurs get recloned, but then there's cyber dinosaurs, and there's Velociraptors.
I'm
not kidding.
Goddamn Michael Crichton, you son of a bitch.
He's dead.
Is there any way they could have combined this with, what's the shark movie?
Sharknado?
Jaws?
No, with the super intelligent shark and they're
Deep Blue.
Yeah.
Also a movie that I like.
Fuck you.
I feel like they should have a Jurassic Park where they make super intelligent velociraptors.
Uh-huh.
Like, just take it up a notch. Yeah. And then we just go from there. That would be, that movie writes itself.
There should be one where it's a super smart velociraptor who was like teaches at a school, and at the end of the movie, all the characters were in his mind. That would be so good.
Why don't we just work in Hollywood?
God, I know. Possible 8 million. Oh my God, so much money we could make. It would be Rob Schneider.
Sci-Fi Channel would buy every one of these movies.
The fucking velociraptor.
God, no.
No, but then he has to turn into it. He has to start as Rob Schneider. It's the only way it works.
I hate everyone involved in this right now. So much.
I suddenly want to get Jim Carrey into this movie somehow.
Fuck you.
Like, just Ace Ventura shows up for whatever reason.
The only problem with this, you can't have, like, the stupid punny fucking word, you know, like, a beautiful mind doesn't just quite work. So then I feel like you need one where he's like a car racer. So then in a way it's like Velociraptor, but you focus on like the velocity.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm envisioning Velociraptors in like speed suits.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Driving a car.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
Sci-fi, if you're listening, make this happen.
Then we have to have Tom Cruise play the Velociraptor.
Ooh. Yeah. And then there'd have to be a volleyball scene.
Yep. It would just pop immediately, like, poof.
They film all the Velociraptors on a box.
What's that?
They film all the Velociraptors on a box.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taller. This is like a whole Archer thing, all of a sudden.
Hmm. Do they do a lot of Velociraptoring in that?
No.
You've watched that episode with me. If you buy the season one DVD, it has the super secret episode at the beginning, which is the first episode, but Archer is a Velociraptor.
Oh.
They redraw the entire thing with Archer as a Velociraptor, and it's just Velociraptor noises for all of his lines for the entire episode.
See, they've caught on to it. The science of funny. They figured out, yeah.
It's amazing.
Casey Willis, that's legit. I like it.
Good times. All right, do we have anything else?
Jesus, no.
No?
Who are you, me?
Huh? What are you, holy crap. Time? Yeah, you crumb up in.
You guys going to turn into pumpkins?
Fuck you.
Usually that's when we've been woken Jamie up, apparently. He's always crabby.
Good to go.
Can we go home?
You guys keep hating Crick so much.
I'm channeling my inner Caleb.
I know, it is just sort of like a speed bag on Jamie. Not the podcast.
That thing is so big they can take it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's basically, Jamie's basically like Ben Roethlisberger at a fucking counseling fucking room.
What?
It's just... just every chick just giving them the dirty eyeballs on their talent. Talking about stuff. This is all getting edited out. Yeah. So hard.
No. Oh,
and that's Focus and Fury, episode 109.
Watch the PD.
Yeah, all right.
I already hate it.
Fuck you, Chase Freedom.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you leave it up.
All right, so Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart in the movie.
Is...
Okay, that's a Pegasus. Nope, that's
not. No, that's it. That's
it's just like an angel thing.
Oh, it's a dude.
Yeah, that's a dude with angel wings.
Keep in mind that this is Frankenstein.
Sword things.
I also like to point out that Frankenstein is actually the doctor, and that this is Frankenstein's monster. But whatever, let's just...
No, they changed that. They don't care anymore.
They don't care anymore. They've officially just said, fuck you.
Is Lionsgate the same people who did Underworld?
No. Yes, this is the Underworld people.
Yes.
Okay. Lionsgate is a distributor. They're not actually filmmakers.
Yeah, but they put out all these shitty movies.
Yes.
What?
Why is
Kate Beckinsale?
Why does he know Kung Fu? No one knows.
Yeah. It's probably answered in the movie, though. There's probably a training montage.
It's like The Matrix, Frankenstein...
And Underworld.
And Legion. I'll take a huge shit in your face.
Yeah.
Don't forget Underworld.
Maybe a little Underworld, but I mean, have you seen Legion? Because...
Yes. You cannot
save the human race. Legion again.
Oh, that guy's from fucking Underworld.
Yeah.
He plays the main bad guy.
Bill Nye. Yeah.
I love Bill Nye, but it's the same fucking character.
Yeah. When does Kate Beckinsale come into this?
I saw this preview and just said, I'm done.
I'm not gonna see the world.
I'm too old, apparently. Everything's kind of shit.
So, and they also combine gargoyles then, huh? Is that what's going on here?
Gargoyle angel things, yeah.
Is Van Helsing actually in it? That's my real question. Yeah. Like, has he got a bit part?
Who are these other guys?
And at any point, did they get a budget to do their animation?
I know, it's like the preview is so terrible. It's the worst animation I've ever seen.
No, I mean...
Well, I mean, yeah.
Jason and the Argonauts.
South Park or whatever.
Well, that's not animation. Yeah. That was stop motion. Yeah.
To be fair, though, Aaron Eckhart looks, like, completely ripped in this thing.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, his BMI doesn't really fucking matter.
Wait, why call Brian and let's check.
Call Brian.
What's with these weird little sword things he's carrying?
There's, like, blade none
of it. Don't try to make sense of it. We already established that.
Oh, and now it's an axe.
Well, that makes sense.
The blade thingies. Okay.
The angel wings are, you know, those are sweet, right?
All I've heard is music and things breaking for about 6 minutes or whatever.
It might actually be better that there's no dialogue in the movie. That could be a bonus.
And to be fair, I loved Aaron Eckhart, and then I watched Battle for LA, which was like one giant marine wank fest.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, it was bad.
God, like,
I forget saying based on that Kuntz?
Dean Kuntz?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does anyone read him?
Well,
some people do.
A lot of people do.
I don't know.
Anybody? Bueller?
No, welcome to Focus and Fury.
Nobody here? Okay.
Episode 109.
I'm just asking if it was based on something. He has a whole Frankenstein.
Nah, no idea.
I would like to point out that basing anything on Dean Koontz books is not probably a good way to make a good
movie. I understand that.
Yeah, but it's got to cost at least half of a Stephen King novel's rights.
Also, it was definitely not based on Dean Koontz because there wasn't a team of dickhead scientists who fucking solved the problem. And it wasn't an eco disaster. Like, Frankenstein doesn't happen to also be an eco problem that the scientists didn't solve. And then he goes,
how do you know? We didn't get any of the dialogue. That could actually be the entire problem.
Wait, then there's an eco thing going on in the entire movie too?
Maybe.
In what?
Well,
if it's based off a Koontz book, yeah.
Oh, I follow.
Yeah. Those would be eco-terrorist gargoyles.
God damn it. They want to turn the world back in stone.
And then it would be a series of scientists that...
Yeah. They'd solve all the problems.
Wait. Did he do The Core?
Aaron Eckhart was in The Core.
Yeah, no, I love that movie, but...
Let's back up for a minute. Did we just hear, I love that movie in reference to The Core?
Yeah, I didn't say it was good.
Okay, I get granted. Right, so granted.
Straight up, admission time, I have a minor man crush on Aaron Eckhart.
Jesus.
Like, I always liked him.
He's got a magnificent, like, chin with, like, a little butt in it, and then you could just put stuff in
He's
there.
He's like Kirk Douglas, too.
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, and I mean, Nigel has his own man crush.
And who?
I think he has several.
There's one actor that for a couple of podcasts you couldn't get away from there.
Which one? Norris?
No.
Because that's been an ongoing level.
Yeah, there's Kurt Russell.
No, this is your new hotness. What's his face from
Tatum?
21. Yeah.
Channing Tatum. He's awesome.
He's pretty dreamy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. You just got Tatum
here.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nigel, what are we?
Are we ready to dive into this?
No, we're already going. Just fucking go with it.
What? No. We gotta do hello, Wicked Fugs of Fury, and then I edit this stuff on as Easter eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jamie, you always bust the bits, and then I gotta edit the shit out of it.
Fuck!